This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Preaching about Christmas classics. I started out on week one and I talked about the Grinch who stole Christmas. I talked about last week, It's a Wonderful Life. And this week, I want to talk to you about Home Alone. Home Alone. I wonder how many of you, just out of curiosity, how many of you'd say, Pastor, I've watched Home Alone before? My goodness. What are you church people watching a movie like that for? Anyway, Home Alone. Okay. I want you to take your Bible and stand. Can we do that? Can we take our Bible, our copy, our iPad, our iPhone, whatever you have, and we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, what 2 Timothy chapter 4 is, see, Pastor, what is this all about? It's not complicated. It's a man, Timothy. He's writing a personal letter to his son in the Lord. It'd be just like you writing a personal letter to somebody. That's what 1 and 2 Timothy is. It's the great apostle Paul. He has a son in the Lord, Timothy, and he's sharing his heart with his son in the Lord. And by the way, folks, that's what's biblical. As we get older and mature in the faith, what does God want us to do? He wants us to pour into a younger generation. We don't want to lose a younger generation. We don't want to leave a younger generation behind. We want to pour into them. Even if it means doing some things different, that's okay. Folks, I'm willing to do anything other than sin to reach people for Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm willing to do anything to reach people for Jesus. We want to pour into these young people. Okay, that's what Paul did, by the way. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, the cloak or the jacket that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. He said, you know, this guy Alexander the coppersmith, he did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. He said in verse 16, at my first answer, or my first hearing, it was a judicial hearing. He said, at my first hearing, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God it not be laid to their charge. But then he went on to say, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. By the way, he will, folks. Amen. He will. The Lord stood with me, and he strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Praise the Lord. Home Alone. Home Alone is a movie that came out in a few years back. And it's primarily about the McAllister family. McAllister family, they were a large group. And they had plans to go to Paris, France for Christmas. It was such an exciting time. Everybody was going to be meeting in Chicago and then flying to Paris, and it was going to be a great time. But there was one boy. His name was Kevin. Kevin McAllister. He was actually played by Macaulay Culkin. And Kevin said, I've had it up to here with my family. He said, actually, I just wish my family would disappear. Did you ever feel that way? I just wish my family would disappear. I wish I didn't have to be with them. So the next day, they're getting ready to catch the flight out. And I say about 20 people. And there's all the chaos. And the little boy comes over from next door and they count him instead of Kevin. And there's a mix-up. And lo and behold, the family is on their way to the airport, and they have left Kevin behind. It's actually when they're in the airplane, they realize that we have left Kevin 8 years old. We've left him home alone. Now, he does occupy himself a little bit. There's a couple guys that are burglars. You got to watch the movie. It's a funny movie. They're known as the Wet Bandits. And he convinces the Wet Bandits for a little while that his parents are still there. But reality is they're not there. So Kevin starts out saying, I just want to be alone. I just want my family to disappear. But I want you to know something. After a little while, he doesn't enjoy being alone. And he actually goes to a Santa who's not the real Santa. And he says to that Santa who is smoking a cigarette, he's not the real Santa. He says, now, I know you're not the real Santa, but he said, I want you to go to the real Santa, and I want you to tell him what I want for Christmas. I want the real Santa to bring my family back home because I really miss my family. He gets a picture out. He's looking at his family, and he's thinking about, I sure do miss my daddy. I sure do miss my mama. I sure do miss my siblings. And one night while Kevin's out, he looks at this house, and he sees a happy family. They're inside, and they're celebrating Christmas. And Kevin says, my goodness, I sure do wish my family was home. I'm home alone. Do you realize, folks, 4 out of 10 people battle loneliness. 4 out of 10 people battle loneliness. I love what Albert Einstein said. He said, it's strange to be known universally, yet so lonely. It's strange to be known universally, yet so lonely. Marilyn Monroe said, the only people that stay with me, I have to pay. The only people that stay with me, I have to pay. Research says that 50% of the people that have heart attacks are lonely at the time of the heart attack. Research says that if a person battles loneliness, it's as damaging on the body as 15 cigarettes a day. But yet here we are in this time of year, and many, many people are lonely. Many, many people are home alone. So I want to look at this subject, and I want to take the Word of God. By the way, folks, let me say this. I wouldn't drive 5 minutes to hear what Benny Tate's got to say. But I'd drive 1,000,000 miles to hear what God's Word says. It's God's Word that makes a difference. So what I want you to hear is the Word of God. Now let me say about 6 things and then I'll give you some handles for handling loneliness. Number one, the loneliness of the Savior. The loneliness of the Savior. Now if there's anybody who understands what it's like to be lonely, it's Jesus. If there's anybody who understands what loneliness is about, it's Jesus. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, think about this. John 1:11 says this. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. What does that mean? It means Jesus was a Jew. He came to his people. He came to the Jewish people. And the Jewish people said, we want nothing to do with you. Do you realize this? Jesus had 4 brothers. From the Bible, we know Jesus had 4 earthly brothers, and he had at least 2 sisters. How did they feel about Jesus? Well, the Bible says in John 7:5, neither did his brethren believe in him. He had 4 brothers. He had at least 2 sisters, and they didn't believe in Jesus. You know, sometimes, folks, we talk about Peter. We talk about Peter denied the Lord. But we need to read the Bible closer. Because in Matthew 26:56, the Bible says all the disciples forsook him and fled. It wasn't just Peter. We got to read our Bible and understand that all the disciples forsook him and fled. Do you realize that there was a point? Jesus hung on the cross 6 hours. There was one point on that cross when he became our sin. See, many times we want to talk about, folks, the physical pain that Jesus went through. The physical pain was not near as severe as the emotional and mental pain that Jesus went through. Because on that cross, ladies and gentlemen, there was a point that he became every sin that you've ever committed. Did you ever commit a sin and you felt so guilty about it? I want you to know something. Jesus felt that guilt. Did you ever commit a sin and you felt so bad about it? Jesus felt that pain. What happened during that very moment, Pastor, that he became our sin? Well, Malachi tells us what happened. An omniscient God turned his back on his son. Why did he turn his back on his son? Because the Bible says that God's of purer eyes than to look on sin, and God could not look on sin. What happened during that point when God turned his back on his son? Jesus cried those words, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I want to say something today. If there's anybody that understands your loneliness, it's Jesus. If there's anybody that understands what you're going through, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. God turned his back on his son so he would never have to turn his back on us. If there's anybody that understands your loneliness, it's Jesus. It's the loneliness of the Savior. But I want you to see something else. It's the loneliness of solitude. About a week ago, what brought this point to my mind, I was preaching at a prison. And there were people going into the prison, and I met with the warden, and I said to this warden, "I see all these people coming in. Do all these inmates have somebody who comes to see them?" And he said, "No, preacher, most of them don't. Most of them spend year after year and never have anybody come and see them." He said, "That's why I so appreciate you having a campus here, because you are the family. Your church people are the family, because they're in solitude." I remember years ago having a patriotic celebration and talking to Lee Greenwood. Lee Greenwood was here to sing, and I was talking to him before the concert on that July night. And I said, "Brother Lee, that song that you wrote, God Bless the USA, that's a powerful song. And what a song of sacrifice to the men and women that serve on the foreign field and protect us." He said, "Preacher Benny, I didn't just write it about the men and women that serve on the foreign field. I wrote it about my mother. Because my daddy went to war, but my mama stayed home. And my mama was very lonely. My mama was very lonely. She stayed home." Folks, people from all walks of life battle loneliness. One out of four people ate dinner alone last night. The president of a company, the individual, the man or woman that has to travel a lot, the pastor of a church, all those are occupations for loneliness. The loneliness of solitude, but I want to give you something else. The loneliness of self. The loneliness of self. See, I am convinced that loneliness shows up in a lot of ways. It shows up in our morals. Sometimes people are lonely and they turn to drugs. They turn to alcohol. They turn to an improper relationship because they're lonely. Somebody said that lady there, she dresses provocative. She dresses that draws attention to herself. She's very confident. No? Perhaps she's very insecure. Perhaps she's very lonely and she's trying to draw attention to herself because of her loneliness. That person that's always buying things, they're always going here, they're going there. "I've got to shop here, I've got to buy this, I've got to get two of this." Many times the root of that is loneliness. Affects her self-image because people say, "I must be a bad person because if I was a good person, I would have somebody." Lonely people are more likely to suffer from dementia, heart disease, and depression. Not only the loneliness of self, but the loneliness of suffering. The loneliness of suffering. You know, I thought about in John chapter 5. There was a man in the Bible in John chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. He had been sick for 38 years. And Jesus said to him, "Don't you want to get better?" He said, "Jesus, you don't understand. I've been lying by this pool of water at Bethesda for 38 years. But every time the water troubles, I don't have anybody to put me in the water. 38 years of suffering, but yet he had nobody. And tons of people physically have problems, but they feel like I have nobody. My health's just deteriorating more and more and more, but yet I have nobody. I don't know what's going to happen to me futuristic because I don't have nobody. And then there's the loneliness of separation. In John chapter 11, Mary and Martha had lost a brother. They had lost Lazarus. They were sad and they wept. And I realized this Christmas is going to be difficult for some because of separation. Some have been separated by divorce. Some have been separated by death. Somebody said, my heart may twist and turn, my heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad I know our God makes no mistake. And I want you to know God's sovereign. No matter what's happened in your life, God's with you. No matter if you've gone through a divorce, that doesn't make you a bad person. Not a bad person. God's still got a purpose. God's still got a plan. You say, Pastor, I've lost somebody very dear to me. God's still got a purpose for you. God's still got a plan for you. And you matter to God. You say, but Brother Benny, it's hell. I know it is. I know it is. Well, how do we get over it, Pastor? We don't, folks. Psalms 23 and 4 says, yea, though I walk through, we don't get over, we just get through. And the Lord promised us he'll get us through, amen? Psalm 66 and 12 says, we went through the fire. We went through the water, but the Lord brought us out. He's going to bring you out too. I'm telling you, folks, when you're going through a hard time, don't pull away from God. You lean into God. Listen, don't you say, Pastor Benny, you don't understand. I'm so disappointed in people. I understand, but don't pull away from God. God's never disappointed you. God's never failed you. God's been there, and God will always be there for you because he's that kind of God. He's that kind of God. He's that kind of God. And then, folks, I want to talk to you lastly about, and then get you some handles, about the worst kind of loneliness. It's the loneliness of sin. It's the loneliness of sin. You know, there was a man who was a disciple of Jesus, and he betrayed Jesus. His name was Judas. And the Bible says this, after he betrayed the Lord, in John 13, he went out, and it was night. What I'm talking about that person that's had a relationship with God, and you've walked away from God. It's the loneliest place on earth. It's the loneliest place on earth. Because you go here and you're not happy, and you go there and you're not happy. Because wherever you are, there you are. And you're lonely because you're not where you need to be with him. Because you were created for a relationship with him. But I've got good news today. You say, Pastor Benny, I've walked away from him. I've got good news. You can walk back. If you'll make one step, he'll make the rest of them. I promise you. Because 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now you say, Pastor, how can we handle loneliness? It's home alone, boy, you've nailed me today with this message. This message is for me. Home alone. And by the way, folks, I think in some capacity, it's for all of us. I think it's for all of us in some capacity. The scriptures I read to you, when Paul penned them, he was in a Mamertine prison. And what they would do, the Mamertine prison, they would take ropes, they would tie them around the wrist, and they would drop the individual down in the prison. It was dark, it was damp, it was a dungeon. They drop a little bit of food. This is not an exaggeration. As I researched it, even this week, many people in the Mamertine prison were literally eaten by rats. That's where the great apostle Paul was. So he knows something about loneliness, solitude, darkness, here all alone. here all alone, but he tells us how to handle it. Five things that he did. First of all, he utilized his time. He utilized his time. Because if you look at verse 13, he took parchments. And what did he do with those parchments, Pastor, while he was here? He wrote the New Testament. He was lonely. He was alone. But you know what he said? I'm going to utilize my time. There's a reason why 85% of pink ladies don't have any emotional problems. Because those ladies have learned to utilize their time. And that's what he learned. He said, this is my situation, but I'm going to utilize my time. See, folks, think about this. If there's an oak tree, there's two ways to get to the top of it. First, you can do what you ought to do. And that's just start out and climb the tree. That's the best way. Or the other way is, you can sit on an acorn and wait. See, somebody said, well, Pastor, time heals all things. That's not true. Time doesn't heal all things. Anybody that tells you that, that's not true. Here is a true statement. What you do with time heals all things. What you do with time heals all things. And Paul said, I'm lonely, but even though I'm lonely, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to utilize my time. I'm going to take my time, and I'm going to do something to help others. Let me tell you something else he did. He not only utilized his time, he minimized his hurts. Verse 16, he said, wait, I know these guys didn't stand by me. But he said, God, I pray it won't be laid to their charge. What'd he do? He minimized his hurts. There was a man in the movie called Old Man Marley. They actually said Old Man Marley was a serial killer. You know, folks, don't we form opinions of people sometimes that are just not true? Who are we really to judge anybody? Why should we question somebody's motives? Why would we question somebody's heart? Why would we do that, folks? But they said, they looked at him and they said, he's a serial killer. And we form opinions of people. Oh, God, she's snobby. She may not be snobby. She may be shy. We form opinions. He thinks he's everything in a bag of chips. Perhaps, perhaps not. My favorite story, I've told it before, but it's a true story. It's on me. Barbara and I were in Chick-fil-A one night, and there was a preacher. His wife had recently died. And I looked in that restaurant, and there he sat with some young woman. And I said to Barbara, bless God. I said, Barbara, he couldn't even let her get cold in the grave. Now, wait. By the way, if he had started dating the day after she died, what business was that of mine? What did that matter to me? Why did I have to have an opinion on that? He didn't have to come to me. I'm not God. That's his business. That's his business. Whoever. I mean, if he got him a mail order bride, that was none of my business. Whatever he did, that was his business. This is the word of God. We got to go by the word of God, not the word of Benny. Wow, Barbara. Then the old guy looked over. I could see him in the distance looking over. He looked over at me and kind of smiled up. I looked back there a little bit later. Thought you jerk. And then he got up and he came over. Said, hey, Pastor Benny, good to see you. Yeah, good to see you too. And then he said, Pastor, have you met my daughter? Marley was a serial killer. Not really. Here he was at church. And he said to Kevin, you know why I'm at church, Kevin? My daughter, my granddaughter, that redhead up there, that redhead, prettiest one in the group. That has a way of redheads. I don't know why. But that redhead, prettiest one in the group right up there, that's my granddaughter. And I had to come here to see my granddaughter because I'm estranged from my son. I'm estranged from my son. And I don't get to see my son. I don't get to see my granddaughter. And Kevin said, I tell you what, if I was estranged from my daddy, I'd sure get it fixed up. I wouldn't want to be estranged from my daddy. I wouldn't want to be estranged from my daddy. I'd sure get it fixed up. I'd sure get it fixed up. You know what he was doing? He was minimizing the hurt. I'm not trying to, folks, I'm not trying to minimize anything, but you understand to me clearly. You say, Brother Benny, I'm going through a divorce. I don't mean it's wrong, but you're not the first one that's ever gone through a divorce, and you're going to make it. You say, Pastor Benny, I've lost my mate, and I'm so sorry, but you're not the first one that's lost your mate, and you're going to make it. Pastor Benny, my finances are not good. I know that. But other people's finances have not been good, and they've made it. And what I'm trying to say, you can maximize your hurt or you can minimize your hurt. What God wants us to do is minimize the hurt. Paul said, I just pray it not be laid to their charge. He said, I don't want to make a big deal out of this. I want to minimize this. You know how to handle your loneliness? You minimize it. You can't constantly be dealing with your hurt. You've got to say, I'm going to get through this. Now, let me tell you the third thing he did. By the way, folks, this is not a hoop, jump, holler message, but I want to tell you, this message can help people. The third thing he did is he maximized his Bible reading and prayer time. He said, now listen, while I'm going to be down in this dungeon, you bring me my books, because I'm going to do some reading while I'm here. Let me tell you something. How can I handle my loneliness? You maximize your Bible reading and prayer time. And then I want to make one statement on this. I'll move to point number four. Your motivation for prayer, ladies and gentlemen, cannot be needs. Let me explain. If your motivation for prayer is just needs, when you don't have a lot of needs, you won't be praying. Your motivation for prayer has got to be your relationship and your fellowship with God. Your motivation for prayer is, I want to be with God, and I miss God when I'm not able to spend my time with God. I want to talk with God. I want to hear from God. I want to have communion with God. There was a fourth thing he did. He realized he needed a friend. He realized he needed a friend. If you look at verse 11, he said, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he's profitable to this ministry. He said, Pastor, I'm very lonely. What would you recommend I do? Here's what I'd recommend you do. Ask God to send you a friend. He can do that. Look, he took his hands and measured out the Pacific Ocean. Amen. I mean, he took his hands and measured out the Atlantic Ocean. God created the world, the rocks, the rills, the holes, the hills, the birds, the bees, the flowers, the trees. Amen. I mean, he did it all. I mean, he didn't begin when the beginning began. He began the beginning. Amen. He gave all these stars names. If he can do all that, he can send you a friend. If he can do all that, folks, he can send you some good friends. And by the way, you say, Pastor, where'd be a good place to find a friend? A good place to find a friend be in church. Amen. Amen? No, not with those lounge lizards at the Crystal Pistol. That's not the place. No. It's in church. Amen? And then I'll give you the last point and I'm done. He recognized God's presence was always with him. He recognized God's presence was always with him. There's a verse, it just came to my mind. I haven't shared it in any of the other services. Well, let me get verse 17, then I'll get you the verse. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. There's a verse that's carried me a long way. It's in Psalms 27 and 10. And this is a very personal verse in my life. This is what it says. It says, when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. I want you to know something, folks. God's presence is with you. And God will never leave you nor forsake you. And God will see you through what you're going through right now. And God will see you through this Christmas. And God will see you through the heartaches. And God will see you through the disappointments. I want to give you a tweet. Here's a tweet. Christians can be lonely, but Christians can never be alone. Christians can be lonely, but Christians can never be alone. Because God said, I'm with you. No matter what you're going through, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to see you through, and you're going to make it. And Corrie Ten Boom said, you'll never know he's all you need until he's all you have. But I'm saying this Christmas, if you're going through a tough time, don't you lean away from God. You lean into God. The only way you can get through it is with God. The only way we can get through trials in life is leaning into God. Just lean in and say, Lord, I need you. I need you, God. Let me tell you something. Savannah Abigail said this week, I've got the flu. Whatever you need, I'll send the Calvary, Savannah. Whatever you need. Let me tell you something. When we're going through a hard time, God says, whatever you need. You just lean in. You just lean to me. Whatever you need, I'm here. Whatever you need, I'm here. I'm going to see you through this. I love you. Folks, we can't put our mind around how much God loves us. We can't fathom how much God loves us. We can't comprehend how much God cares about us. We can't understand how God loves us and how He cares about us. You may not even like yourself, but I want you to know God loves you. You may not believe in yourself, but God believes in you and God cares about you. And you're wonderfully and fearfully made by God, and you're so precious to God. The world may not know your name, but He knows your name. He cares about you. He loves you. He's faithful to you. He's going to see you through no matter what you're facing. Home alone. You're not home alone because Jesus is with you if you just lean into Him. I'm almost done. There's a story in the Bible. I preached about it years ago when the disciples were on the water and they got in a storm. This is what verbatim the Bible says this. They said, He would have passed by had they not cried out. He would have passed by had they not cried out. And I want you to know today, folks, if you'll cry out, He won't pass by. If you'll cry out, He won't pass by. If you'll cry out, He won't pass by. No matter what you're going through, if you'll just cry out to Him, if you'll just cry out to Him, He won't pass by. Everybody else may pass by. Everybody else may pass by. Everybody else may pass by, but He won't pass by. He won't pass by. He won't pass by.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin, and I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.